Hey friends, welcome back to episode 2 of the Handyman Success Podcast. Today, we are joined by an awesome handyman on the East Coast, JP Compasso with the Newtown Handyman. I am one of the co-hosts, joined with another co-host, Jason Call. The whole premise behind the Handyman Success Podcast is to share stories of other business owners all around the world to inspire you and to teach you. So we're going to go ahead and get to today's episode. It's going to be fantastic. Again, learning from JP Compasso with the Newtown Handyman in Connecticut. So I already told the audience who you are, JP, but maybe you want to tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're located and a little bit about your business.
Absolutely. First of all, thanks guys for having me. It's a great honor to be a part of this podcast. And but like you said, my name is JP Compasso and I'm located right here in beautiful Newtown, Connecticut. And I'm sitting in behind my desk in our global headquarters. got to think big, right? So, but yeah, it's been a wonderful ride so far.
Awesome. And tell us a little bit of a history of your business and when you started and kind of why you started.
Yeah, I've been into building trades most of my adult life. There was a point in time where I was a leadership trainer for a corporate company. And I enjoyed that piece of the puzzle, but I didn't really, I wanted to get out and swing hammers. And so I hooked up with a contractor and had been building houses and doing all sorts of, construction projects from complete remodels to, just doing handyman repairs. And I always wanted to do this on my own. And I came across a YouTube video of Alan Lee. I think it was the 10 most profitable handyman jobs. And so I watched it and I'm like, and I think it was filmed in your garage, but I watched it and I was like, I could do that. Wait, I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. So I was kind of indecisive about pulling the trigger on going out on my own. And so I decided to do that January 2020. Right? The one time in my life that I decided to pull the trigger, we got a global pandemic 3 months later. So we shut down for the first 2 weeks of the pandemic. And I remember doing some online stuff with you, Alan. And we talked about this is when millionaires are made. Not that I'm a millionaire by any stretch of imagination, but this is when millionaires are made. And I opened the business back up for just outside work because I wasn't sure what people were going to do. And I realized that when I was at their house, they would say to me, oh, while you're here, can you come in and take a look at? And I went, okay, it doesn't seem to bother you, so it's not really going to bother me. And it just kind of exploded from there. It was just really, I always talk about riding the wave, but it doesn't seem to be slowing down, at least anytime soon. There was a point in time where my phone was ringing so bad and so often that I couldn't have a conversation. Like, we would never have been able to do this. It just was constant. And we were on a call as part of the handymanjourney.com, by the way, shameless plug. I'll give it to you.
Thanks.
We were on a call and you had talked about stop giving out your phone number and have to let your systems do the work for you. So I got hooked up with Jason over at Handyman Web Design, and he created an amazing website for us with email capture and all of that. And then we invested in a backend CRM, which allowed us to communicate with our clients. And just taking that handyman connotation thing, it's the guy with the truck. I think I called him the Chuck in the truck that day. To that next level, like, the same as the regular trades, it's the same as your electrician, the same as your plumber, the same as your HVAC guy, to give you not only same level of service, but be able to charge the same, kind of rates. So yeah, it's been a big ride.
Awesome. Yeah. I know that's what Alan's done a great job of with the handyman journey. And then like seeing businesses like UJP where you guys are operating like any other successful trade business, a plumber, HVAC, electrical company, because there's no reason why a professional home repair company can't charge $100, $200, $300 an hour. I mean, there's no reason why this industry cannot be there. And you guys, like your guys' companies are showing like, yeah, this, you can't carry that weight because you do provide that value in taking care of someone's, you know, their biggest asset, their home. So, I'd like to dig a little bit more into, like, why did you start the Newtown Handyman? Like, where were you at when you started? Like, were you working a job? Like, were you part-time at first? If you could kind of like open up a little bit about that initial starting and what prompted you to do that.
Yeah, I was working full-time for a contractor. I loved my job. There wasn't anything about that. But then I realized that there's a better way to do certain things. And I was so I took on the handyman business part-time. And I realized that it was much more satisfying to me to be able to help somebody get something taken care of, get it checked off their list, and be able to give back. You know, the one thing that I know Alan shares with me is giving back. And, you know, it was a struggle at first for me to make that transition to full time because you know, I have a family to worry about. You know, I have kids and a house and all that stuff to worry about. So it was really a struggle. Am I going to make enough money to not only take care of my family expenses, but take care of other people as well? And it was really, I got to tell you, I can swing hammers. I can fix things. I can paint. I can build. I can do all of those things. The one piece of the puzzle that I didn't have a grasp on was all the back end stuff, all of the building of a business and the generating the revenue and doing all those things and coming across, you know, and meeting Alan and working through that process and doing the marketing funnel and taking all these courses and just being able to take somebody's real life experience like Alan's, you know, going from, you know, fixing my car to running, you know, such a large enterprise. You got to follow somebody like that. So it's really been exciting. This whole back end piece. I mean, now we're in an office, and who knew? You know, who really knew?
Awesome. Yeah. Let's see. How long did it take you to go from as you started part time and you're working your job? How long did it take to quit your job, go full time in the business, and what was that like for you?
It took about 6 months, really, from the time that I had started it, kind of, you know, quasi started it, I guess you'd say, to where I really said, all right, maybe I can make a go of this. And, you know, I could always go back in and work for a contractor if I needed to, but maybe I can make a go of this. And I remember having a conversation with my wonderful Wendy, she's over there. And saying to her that, you know, maybe it's time, you know, I can make just as much money, if not more, doing this on my own. And we threw everything we had at it. You know, I took, you know, all of the savings, all of the dollars, all of the cents, and just said, all right, it's no or go. And, you know, we were, not that we struggled in the beginning, but we were very conscious of what things cost and, you know, when do you bring on an employee and all those pieces that we hadn't really thought about in the beginning at that time, which we clearly think about now. But I think the big thing for me was realizing that there's much more freedom in being the business owner when your business is successful. You've worked hard to get there because then you can do things like take a vacation and things get done, or you can meet up with your significant other for lunch in the middle of the day, which how many of us get the opportunity to do something like that? You know, I mean, I post that all the time on Facebook, you know, I get to have, you know, lunch with Wendy. So it really fulfills you, you know, cause it's not always about the dollar. It's about that whole, you know, life experience at home and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know one of my coaches said early on, like, people go into business for freedom, right? Freedom of finance and freedom of time. And the one that always gets forgotten about is the freedom of time. And as you grow and grow and grow and you start making more and more money and you're doing pretty well for yourself, but how many hours are you putting in? When's the last time you took a vacation? Yeah. How much time are you spending with your family? Being conscious of that freedom of time, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to be able to get to that point where you have that freedom, I think a lot of new business owners' mistake is that their thought process is, I work for myself, I can make my own hours, because we've all heard that, right? You can make your own hours and I'll work for myself and things are going to be great. And then they realize that they made their own hours, but they only did two jobs this week. Mm-hmm. And the money that they made this week versus the time and energy they put into it didn't do anybody any good. It certainly didn't make them any money. You know, they wind up working for less money than they did for before they left. So you need to understand that the work and the effort needs to be there before you're going to reap that reward.
Right. For sure. So digging into that a little bit, what's worked well in your like business operations, like day to day and like keeping things organized and efficient? What's helped you in that?
It's funny you say that. Right here on my desk, I've got this. I know you guys aren't going to be able to see this, but what this is, we have a process. And when it comes to doing an estimate, communicating with our clients, how we go about it. And Wendy is my organizational guru. Mm-hmm. So every step of what has to happen for our business to run on the back end is written down. What works, what doesn't work. We kind of tweak things as we go along, but it really has boiled down to having a set of standards and a set of procedures that we follow regardless of who you're dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same. We take the same steps this way. Everybody gets the same hamburger, no matter where you go. We talk about it on our, right, on our calls.
McDonald's. Yep.
That, right. It's McDonald's, whether I go to McDonald's in Sacramento or McDonald's in Newtown. I mean, there isn't one in Newtown, but close by, they're the same burger, right? You know, you get the same experience. So the menus are set up identical. And so you're able to plug people in. And that's why we do things like this on the back end as well, because as we add office staff, it has to be seamless, right? We can't have it. Unfortunately, we can't afford the luxury of taking 6 months to train somebody. You need to be able to get in, sit in the seat and be able to do the job. So, having a set of standards, a set of procedures, and following them every step is what's truly important, regardless of whether it's, you know, I'm going out to plug in your dishwasher or I'm going out to remodel your bathroom. It's the same.
So what would you say for people listening right now? What would be the number one way that they could sit down and create those procedures?
Yeah, it's really as simple as, how would you want to be addressed when somebody comes to your home? Hmm. What information do you want from them when they arrive? Would you like them to explain to you what's going to happen, how it's going to happen? And those are the steps. Like, we put in a set of standards where we greet the client the same way, regardless of who's doing it. We walk them through what we're there to do, just in case something got missed, right? Or they decided to add something to it. We do our floor protection. We do our property protection. We do all of that. We complete our work. We take before and after photos. We walk back through with the customer and go over it. And it's just a set standard. We have a complete checklist that each guy uses, regardless of who's going out to do the work. It doesn't really matter who you have doing the work when there's a set standard that you have in place for everybody. And it's really sit down and figure out what it is, how you'd like to be treated. I mean, it's really that simple. I mean, I don't want the phones ringing, you know, 6 or 7 times before somebody answers them. So we know that we answer it right away. We know that we respond to our emails right away. We want customers to have the ease of getting hold of us. And that's why it's important to do things. You know, I know it's a big bill when you look at getting a website, getting a CRM, and investing in those things. But I can't tell you how many times the client has said to me, it's so easy. You guys make it so seamless. And that's really what it's about. It's about making it easy for them to get a hold of you, request the work that they want done, and you go out and do it. So if you can write a plan, I mean, it takes time. I mean, we literally I've got legal pads full of handwritten notes of, we should do this, we should do that. And we tried, it didn't work, so we scratched off the list. So
yeah,
it really does become trouble.
I love it. Love it. I was meeting with a client the other day for an estimate, and I asked her how she found us. You know, she said, "Oh, I found you on Yelp." And I'm like, "Okay, have you used Yelp before?" You know, this and that. And she was saying that she called like 10 different handymen all around my town, and not a single one answered the phone or even called back. Yep. We were the first ones that actually had someone that answered the phone. So it's so interesting.
I did one last night where we went out in the evening time, which is not something we typically do, but you know, we're leaving for vacation in a week. So I knew that, you know, in order for me to be able to help him, I need to see him as soon as I can. So we went out there and he's like, "I got to be completely transparent with you. I've had two people come here."
Wow.
"But they don't have phones. They don't have, you know, everything's handwritten down. I don't need that kind of communication. I want somebody," and you guys made it seamless. You were able to literally, I was able to plug in what I needed, send you pictures, you know, get you over here. And I said, "Not only that, but now when the time comes, you're going to get your estimate. Mm-hmm. This is what you're going to get. This is how you proceed." And we go from there. We try to make it as easy as we can. And it's a big deal for a lot of, I mean, there are people out there that don't care about it, but it's a big deal for a majority of the people.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think that's one thing that I absolutely love about, you know, this thing that we've created, starting with the handyman journey, you know, and just partnering with, you know, Handyman Marketing Pro has been absolutely phenomenal, because it's like, we're taking what used to be a chuck in a truck, right? Yeah. The handymen are known as chuck in a truck, like people who show up with holes in their shirt, smelling like alcohol, whatever.
Right.
To an actual, you know, and actually jotting, you know, like they would jot down an estimate and be like, "Okay, here's your price," to an actual professional business that cares for the clients. You know, like there's people that really want that. And it really starts with, like you said, I think you hit it right on the head, is ask yourself, like, how would you want to be treated if you were calling a handyman? If you had a handyman come into your house, would you want them, you know, to just, you know, jot down some stuff on a sticky note and give it to you? Like, or would you like a professional, you know, written estimate? And
Think about it. I mean, we call big companies all the time, right? We call giant HVAC companies. You know, you just dealt with one, you know, last week or whatever. So, you know, we call them all the time, and they show up, and their trucks are wrapped, and the guys get out, and they're wearing a clean uniform, and they greet you, and they talk about all those things. That's how it should be. Why should our business?
One thing I love about you, JP, is that's exactly it, right? Most people say that, "Oh, I'm just a handyman. I can drive my old beat up truck that looks like crap because I'm just a handyman. You know, like no one's going to pay me more than $50 an hour because I'm just a handyman. I don't have to wear a nice uniform because I'm just a handyman." But JP, you just started in January 2020 in the midst of a pandemic, and you already are renting an office with an awesome logo behind your head. Like, how fantastic is that? You've chosen to not say, "Oh, I don't need to do that because I'm just a handyman," to be like, "No, I am a handyman. I'm someone who will provide for the clients." Like, that's phenomenal.
It's truly changing the name of the business. And it started for me with the Handyman Journey. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll say this out to everybody who's listening and everybody who's watching. If you are thinking about starting your handyman business, or you are currently a handyman or handywoman, and you want to grow your business exponentially, then you need to be a part of the Handyman Journey. Go onto the Facebook group, make sure you answer all the questions, please. and be a part of it, just because we are in the midst of changing the perception of the guy who shows up in the rusted out pickup truck, right? Who's going to come in for $45 and he's going to knock something out for you. And you might be happy with him, but that's not who we are, you know? And so, I mean, that we have over 400 clients on the books just here in my town alone, you know? Right. So, and it's simply because of how we operate, and it's changing the name. I mean, I've had people show, you know, I have my tool trailer's got, you know, similar cabinets to you. And things like that. And I'd open the doors in their driveway and they go, "Well, wait a second." I'm like, "Yeah, I got everything I need. I can build your house right now if you want."
Right.
You know, but that's where it boils down to. That's how we got to where we are today.
Mm-hmm. What stands out to me, like the regular handyman, or even a lot of listeners here, like they might be thinking about starting a handyman business. They already have one. What stands out to me about JP is that next week he's going on vacation, and not a lot of handyman, especially business owners, can go on a vacation. And so I'd like to talk about your vacation a bit in a sense.
All right. So
we've already touched on, like, part of the reason you're able to go on vacation is you've got these processes in place. Like, your team knows how to field calls. They know how to show up and diagnose and work with a client. And that obviously gives you freedom because things are happening based on the processes. So another big part that is allowing you to go on a vacation that we haven't talked about yet is your pricing journey. Because obviously your pricing is good and dialed in, nip tuck, so that you can take a week off. And hopefully Wendy's coming too, right?
She is. She's going along for the ride.
Yeah. So if you could talk about where'd you start with pricing? Because a lot of guys, like, that's the biggest struggle that I personally see. Like, as a marketer, we get calls from guys, and I've talked to a lot of business owners that are fully booked out. They're full time, booked out months, but they have no money to invest in marketing. They can't take any time off. And it's because they have an issue with pricing. They're not charging enough. They're not quoting right. Whatever it may be, the issue is with their pricing. And so if you could kind of like explain like where you started with your pricing and kind of like that pricing journey, if you will, and where you're at now, that is allowing you and Wendy to go on a vacation, which most small businesses can only like dream about.
Yeah. So I think I started like everybody else. You just kind of grab a number out of thin air and you say, okay, this is, you know, if it's more money than I was currently making, then great, you know, and it all works well. But it only works well for a very short period of time. And then you realize that the time and energy that you put into what you were doing, you shortchanged yourself dramatically, right? And so you need to understand all of your costs, not just your For the one man show, we'll call it, you need to understand what your costs are, not just your business costs, but what it costs you to operate your household, right? So you need to know every dollar. If you don't know those numbers, then I suggest you sit down with a pad and pen, do it the old fashioned way, right? Write out, you know, cable bill, phone bill, all of it, the rent or mortgage or whatever it is you have, and understand how much you need to make in order to live the life that you would like to live, right? To live comfortably and not have to struggle with your bills and be able to pay things down so that you can live debt-free if that's where your goal is. Mm-hmm. And once you've been able to kind of figure out what those numbers are, then you can sit down and accurately price it. Now with us, with employees and things like that, we look at labor burdens. We look at, you know, the workman's comp, look at insurances and taxes, and all of those pieces all go into that. And it took a while. I mean, it was, you know, when I finally dialed in what the numbers were going to be, I said, oh, maybe this estimate's a little too high. I second guessed what it was we were doing, right? So I'm like, it's too high. So I take a couple $100 off the price and I said, nah. And they're like, yeah, sure. And I finally realized that it wasn't because it took a couple $100 off, because they had no idea that I took the money off. Right. It all had to do with giving people the value and making them understand what they're getting for what they're paying. Now, some people are used to paying the guy who's going to come in for $25 an hour and is going to do X, Y, and Z, but those aren't my ideal clients. So, you know, we kind of steer clear of that the best way we can. But I think ultimately, you need to know your numbers. You need to know your business numbers, and you need to know what you're worth. You need to know your value. There's a value in everything you do, right? Somebody called you. I think Alan is, I read your book, by the way, because we have the same brain. It's just, it's weird because I've always said, you know, I've had people say to me, you know, I go into a house and we're doing the work and the wife is there. And because we tend to deal with the wives more than we deal with the husbands, because they're off doing whatever they're doing. And they're like, oh, my husband can never do that. I'm like, I can't do what your husband does.
Right.
So whatever he does for a living, I can't do that. And I don't claim to be able to do that. So, you know, my ideal customers are the people who, you know, are that, you know, I don't go to people's houses who are handy, you know, right. I go to people who either didn't have the time, you know, or just didn't have the skill set to do what they're doing. So, know what your value is. Don't shortchange yourself. you know, do your research. You need to know your numbers. Picking numbers out of thin air doesn't do anybody any good. You know, I'm part of the Handyman Journey Facebook group, and you watch the guys go on and say, hey, I was going to charge X dollars for this. And then there'll be 60 comments and everybody else is within, you know, $4 or $5 of each other, but they're thousands of dollars above the guy who posted.
Right.
So it's because we understand where our numbers should be. We know what it costs. You know what it costs, Alan, to operate your business, right? To pay your guys to do what they do every day, to carry all the things we were required to carry. You know what it costs you. And until you know those numbers, you know, you're going to keep pulling things out of thin air. And yeah, you may make a good living. You may, you know, it may work for you. But if you truly want to be able to build a profit and build, I think of it in two ways. There's people who look at it as being rich, and there's people who look at it as being wealthy, right? Mm-hmm. And they're two different things. And I'd rather be wealthy. I don't need to be rich. Okay. I'd rather be wealthy. You know, I'd rather be able to go to the garden and do what I need to do, or, you know, say, you know what, it's Friday and it's 3 o'clock and I think I'm done for the day. And go home and not have to worry about it, right? So there's, you know, and still make money, right? So there's that balance. And the only way to do that is price it. Mm-hmm. And for those of you out there in YouTube land or wherever we are, get it. Sorry, Alan, had to do it.
Thanks.
Truly, I owe a lot to the Handyman's Journey. I do. I owe all of this domain that I'm in right now to the Handyman Journey, because, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to take advantage of the resources out there. You know, YouTube's a great resource. And the only thing I used it for that day was I had nothing else going on and I was trying to figure out, you know, what to do. And I came across your video. And outside of that, being able to take advantage of the Handyman Journey, all of the Facebook groups that we're a part of, you know, the Business Builders Essentials group, all of those things, and be able to talk to real life, actual handymen who do this stuff every single day for a living, and not somebody who was taught how to teach how to do it, but someone who does it every day. It's priceless. It really is.
For sure. And that's what I absolutely love about this. I mean, we're taking real life people who are out in the field, you know, maybe few hours ago, you were out working on a house, right? And now you're here sharing your knowledge and your experience with a bunch of other guys. I think that's what's so important, you know? And like you've talked about, you've mentioned the Handyman Journey Mastermind group on Facebook, and that's absolutely a phenomenal resource. But I wanted to let our viewers know about another resource that we've recently created called the Handyman Success Mastermind group on Facebook. And it's a phenomenal resource because the Handyman Journey Mastermind group is focused mainly on starting a business, or people who have business questions, you know, as far as pricing and things like that. But the Handyman Success Mastermind group is focused on marketing and business growth. So it's really a place where we can all come together and learn from each other on those two particular categories. So, definitely, if you're listening to this, make sure you join those two groups. Just absolutely phenomenal communities. We will obviously put the links down in the
description. It's about resources. We talk about our resources every day, about being able to source materials, and you know, I need to rent a piece of equipment or something like that. But these are huge resources to people who are willing to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and we understand that none of us can do this by ourselves. Right. We need community, right? Yep. Like, even though I'm, you know, teach you guys through the Handyman Journey, I need you guys as much as you need me. You know, I'm learning every step of the way with you guys. So it's absolutely phenomenal to have that community.
I love the choice too, because a lot of guys out there, like, they've been through, you know, they've had a bigger company, whether it's a general contractor or brought on more people to help their handyman business. And some guys, they just choose that they want to be solo, and they work it out in their business and their pricing where they can do that profitably and take a vacation. But then there's guys that want to grow into like what JP's building, what Honestly is building. And that's, I think the biggest differentiator with the Handyman Success is digging more into those, you know, the marketing, the business questions of like, man, JP, how did you add employees? Like what did you plan to do that? So, I just kind of want to point that out. Also want to quickly pricing is so huge. There's a couple things that I took from JP is, that's so important. It's foundational, but one is like knowing your customers, because when you know who your customer is and you understand your value, like you shouldn't be ashamed or feel like, oh, that's, that price is too high, because your ideal clients are going to accept that price. I know Alan, he has the highest rate that I've ever heard in a handyman company. And people, as when he raised that, people still took the bid, and he's going to go out and help them with that. So knowing who your customer is, and then also you can charge those premium rates that support your healthy business because of the experience that you give. When people go to your website, it's professional. It's easy to contact you. When someone gets an estimate, it's branded. It's through, email. It's online.
Right.
It's modern. It creates this amazing customer experience that, of course, they're going to have to pay more for that. But that those two things, I think, are huge for people to understand, is knowing your customers, but then how is your business set up operationally, marketing wise, that you can command that higher rate where you can afford to bring on people. You can afford to go on a vacation. Yeah. You have wiggle room to navigate and invest in your business.
Mm-hmm. I think you're 100% right, Jason. It really boils down to being the, how do we call it? Being that company that people are going to look forward to or look at to get the same level of service that they're going to get at any big named plumber or electrician, or, you know, it's the same theory. We show up every day, brand new truck. Not that you listen, you don't need to go out and buy brand new trucks. Nobody needs to do that. That's not what I'm saying. But you go out with a new truck, you come prepared, you have all the things that you need to have. You've communicated every single step to the client. You let the client know what time you're going to get there. You let the client know that you've started. You let the client know that they're done. You know, all of those pieces gives you the ability to command the price that gives you the opportunity to live the way you want to live, you know, and there's nothing wrong if you want to be the solo guy and it works, it's great. I mean, I that's how I started. That's what I was. And I'm like, you know what? I think I might be tired of swinging hammers a little bit. Maybe it's time to get other people to do that for me and still make a good living. And that's where we're going. That's where our goal is. That's what we're looking at. Matter of fact, after this, I have a 6:30 interview with a potential new hire. So, you know, we're definitely trying to grow.
Awesome.
Nice.
So with, sorry, Jason, do you have something you wanted to go into right now?
Take it away, brother.
I'm really curious about this topic. So I'm wondering if you happen to have any business numbers that you'd be willing to share. You know, as far as annual revenue, dollars per RO, and kind of where you'd want to be in the next 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, as far as that goes.
Yeah, shockingly enough, our first year in business, which was obviously during the pandemic.
Just last year.
just last year, as a one-man show, we did roughly $182,000 in revenue.
Wow.
Just our first year, me alone. My son coming out occasionally to give me a hand. I think we had uniform shirts at the time, but I didn't have a truck wrap or any of that other stuff.
That's a heck of a 1 year for one man.
Yeah, it was. And that's where I got that statement of ride the wave. You know, I wasn't sure how long this was going to last. People were sitting there looking at this crack in the ceiling for, you know, 6 months at a time where they normally saw it, but they left to go to work and so they didn't see it all that often. Now they want it fixed. So we're set, I think, at this point to do, we're shooting to do over 300,000 this year.
Wow.
That's what I'd like to see.
How big is your company right now?
1, 2, 3, 4. There's 3 in the field at any given time. And then usually 1 and sometimes 2 in the office at any given time. So,
okay. Awesome.
Yes. And
do you happen to know what your dollar per RO is? Off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, we're about our average job falls into about like 1650 bucks, okay, somewhere in that general range. I don't have the number off the top of my head. But so we're shooting for it. You know, I think at the rate that's going to put us like 288 or something this year, something like that. So,
and we stay where we are. Where do you want to see yourself in like 3 years or 5 years?
Bahamas.
I love it.
On a beach with a little umbrella, with those little funky umbrellas. Yeah. So one of the things that I've had on my mind, quite a lot was franchising. Mm-hmm. And building this as a putting the systems in place now to be able to franchise out and take the current company of the Newtown Handyman and make it the parent company of, you know, the New England Handyman, mm-hmm, you know, and just go from Maine to New York and take, right, that little slice of the pie, you know? So that, I think, you know, long term, that's where we're working towards. But I'd like to, in the next 1 to 2 years, you know, have a fleet of trucks on the road and, mm-hmm, you know, just continue to grow, have more office space, more office staff, and, you know, maybe some type of call center, something along those lines. So, mm-hmm, that's awesome. The goal.
That's, yeah,
think big, right?
I love it. I love it. You know, I think that's, we hit on it earlier, but that's the one issue that most people have is, when they start a small business, they think like a small business, right? But big businesses like Microsoft or IBM or Apple or whatever, they started out thinking like a big business, right? And so I think that's really the key to growth, is not seeing yourself as, oh, you're just one little, you know, one little dice in the whole game, but you're
can't
be as big as your mind goes, you know?
Yeah, you're the game. And that's why at the beginning, you know, when we were doing the introductions, I said, you're, you know, coming to you live from my global headquarters.
right. I love
you know, right. Because that's the mindset, right? It's the mindset. It doesn't mean that we don't have the struggles that everybody else has. It doesn't mean that, you know, there's days where I'm so frustrated, I can't deal, or that the job just didn't go the way it was supposed to go. The job that was scheduled for 2 days took 5 days. It happens. It happens to everybody, mm-hmm, but it's, you know, I read a book called Overcome by a retired Navy SEAL called Jason Redman. His name is Jason Redman. And he talks about getting off the X. And we've had this conversation, you know, with a friend of ours in Florida. We've had this conversation with him about it. And it's changing the mindset of, are you going to sit there and wallow in the fact that it didn't go the way it was supposed to go? Or are you going to get off the X and move on, mm-hmm, and go to the next thing and take care of the next thing? And we spend a lot of time doing that now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's helped tremendously.
Definitely. I love it. You always got to be pivoting and growing and advancing.
Like, yeah.
I love what you said earlier. Like, you have notes, and then if that doesn't work, okay, you cross that out and you go on.
Cross it up.
You're like, you got to keep moving. You know,
you have to, it's the only, you know, these companies like McDonald's or Microsoft or Apple or any of these that have all these processes in place didn't like get it on the first try.
Right.
You know, it didn't just like, they wrote it out and went, boom, we're a $1 billion company. It just didn't happen that way. So, you know, it really boils down to trial, mm-hmm, and error. And sure. And even if it's frustrating when you fail at it, it only makes you better because you realize it doesn't work that way. So I don't have to worry about that anymore. Now I can just, mm-hmm, move on. Hmm.
Yeah, I know. Me and Al, we always talk about, you know, like, if you're failing a lot, then you're going to see a lot of success come on the end of that. If you're recognizing it as learning potential, learning opportunities, and, you know, crossing off and improving your systems, your processes, your pricing, your marketing, whatever it may be. Like, by my book, the more that you're failing, the better that you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
So it's good to recognize that.
Not to be ashamed. No doubt.
Everyone out there, all business owners are out there failing every day. But it's the ones that are looking at those as like learning that are, you know, growing every single year. As you're going to crush 300,000, 300,000 this year, which I believe you'll beat that. What have you done? What's worked well in your marketing? Like, how are you getting leads? What have you tried? What's for the guys listening out there? Like, what's worked for you to get to that point?
So it's crazy. You know, we talk about marketing all the time, right? We talk about, you know, having this presence out there, the digital footprint, if you will, you know. There are guys I've had conversations with, long conversations with, about their advertising and, you know, what they've done to market their business. And I kind of shook my head. I went, I don't do any of that. Maybe, am I wrong? Am I right? Am I, you know, I mean, we've got 80 some odd jobs scheduled between now and August. So I don't know whether I'm right or I'm wrong, but for us, it's simply about growing the relationship with a client and making sure that the client understands anytime they needed something, they call us, or anytime somebody they know needs something, the Newtown Handyman is the top on their list, right? That's how we look at it. We talk about, you know, our Google presence. We talk about our Facebook presence. We talk about all of our social media, our Instagram, all of it. We post every single day, which is something that I learned from the Handyman journey. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very simple. You know, it gave us mind blowing results, but it was so simple that like a 3-year-old could have done it. Right. And right. It's simply direct everybody to your website. Right. So it's literally get everybody to go to the newtownhandyman.com and take it from there. And so we post every day, multiple times a day. I have done some advertising. I think our advertising budget for last year was like $86.
Wow.
You know, and it was like a Facebook boost or something like that, because we were starting a new program. I don't do traditional marketing with like ads and flyers and things like that. We do have postcards that go out. We do have a trifold document that we hand to every customer. I have them in my truck, so anytime somebody stops me, I just hand them one, so they have an idea as to what it is we do every day. But it really boils down to is figure out what your market is, know what people are looking for, and understanding that, like, there's a lot of back end research that has to happen before you can even zone in on it. I think in our marketing funnel, it was simple. It's so basic, but the results are mind blowing. Like, when you realize where your business needs to be, and how simple it is to really get there, it just really is mind blowing. So we spend a lot of time building relationships, right? And we operate on an 80-20, we call it the 80-20 rule. Anybody who's been in business, who's got clients or customers, understands the 80-20 rule. You know, 80% of your business is going to come from 20% of your clients, right? So we focus on the repeat customers. And some of them may be a dryer vent cleaning turns into painting a room. Some of them may be building decks or remodeling bathrooms or any of that stuff. So we tend to focus a lot on that. But I think most of our marketing is done through social media, and it's worked. I mean, we do estimates only on Wednesdays, and I'm booked solid usually 7 to 10 every Wednesday. So, and it's simply from having a place where people can go, investing the money. And I know it can be expensive, like for everybody out there who's starting, I get it. It's expensive, and you've got to put your money in the right place, right? So do your research and find out, you know, make sure you get the right SEO, make sure all of these things are happening, because without that, you're just kind of spinning your wheels, right? You just, you know, you're throwing good money after bad. You know, I have a business that I do business with, and he's called Newtown Junk Removal, and he's, you know, it's him and another guy, and you know, we've become really good friends, and we talk about this all the time. And he's like, I got an ad here, I got an ad there, I got an ad here, I got an ad there. I'm like, dude, I have a place in the ad anywhere, and I'm booked 6 days a week, mm-hmm. right through August, almost to the like first or second week of August. So. And he's like, well, I don't understand. I said, listen, here's the deal. And I took what I was taught, right? So that's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to pass these things on to other people, right? And I want to see him be successful, because if he's successful, it means I'm successful. So because that means that what I was doing was right, mm-hmm. right? Because I was taught, you know, to do it in a certain way. And I said, post every day. Put your website at the end. Let people know where they can get a hold of you. Do all these things every single day, stay in someone's face every day. And eventually, you know, you become the refrigerator magnet, right?
Yep.
The old school refrigerator magnet. We used to put our business cards in the back of a magnet and give them out. And people would stick it in their refrigerator. More than likely, they just threw it away. But you know, they would put it on their refrigerator and that's who you call. In today's 24-hour digital age, there are no refrigerator magnets.
Right.
Right. So you have to be that magnet. And in order to do that, you have to build the relationships, making sure that your clients give your name and your business information to everybody they see. Join your local Facebook groups, all of that, you know, and just continuously be in their face. And that's how we generate our business. I mean, I got a wall full of folders right now of work I got coming up to go out and do estimates for, you know, next week before I leave. So it's working.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. If you don't mind too, another like big topic we like to touch on that really people struggle with is estimates. So do you do free estimates? How does your estimate process work? You mentioned only on Wednesdays. Kind of, if you could speak on how you kind of view estimates and how you conduct them in your business.
Yeah, so like everybody else in the beginning, we struggled, right? So I would do estimates at the end of every day, or I'd go to Mrs. Smith's house on Tuesday, but I forgot to go to Mrs. Jones's house on Monday because Monday got away from me, right? And so we realized, you know, the best way is to dedicate a specific day to just do that. Now, I know when you're the one guy, when you're the solo, when you're it, right? You're the CEO, the COO, the lead handyman, the lead bookkeeper, and you're all those hats, right? Dedicating one day to do that, not generating it revenue, can be a difficult thing, mm-hmm. right? But you need to be able to say to yourself, all right, I need to bite the bullet, because not only does it give me a, and we chose to do it on Wednesdays because it's a break in the middle of my week.
Right.
And I have a little bit of a breather where I know I don't have to go and swing hammers. I'm not worried about Mrs. Smith's counter going sideways or whatever. And we decided that our process was going to be pretty simple. We need to make it as easy as we can. And the way we did that was direct everybody to the website. We get all the email capture from the website. We've had a tab added where they got us, you know, where, how they found us, right? So that generates, we have all that data. And then whether they want a virtual estimate or an in-home estimate. We seem to be doing more in-home estimates now than we were, but I think that has a lot to do with, you know, the kind of restrictions being loosened up. Mm-hmm. And then Wendy will take it, and she responds to them with a tentative date. This is what you have. This is what we have available. You know, Jim can come out on such and such a date. And she puts that into, you know, we use Market as our CRM. So she puts it in there, it goes on my calendar. We go out, and I still use, and I'll show you. I get folders.
Yeah.
You like my logo? I get folders from Wendy with our customers' information, And so at the end of every day, I mean, I won't show you customer information, but at the end of the day, I take a document like this, which I literally took out of Staples. I bought a book of them and then I just photocopied them, right? So I have a form like this that we go and I fill out all the information while I'm at the client's house. When I get back to the office, I sit here at my computer. I have an Excel spreadsheet that has all of my calculations already in it, what my markups are, how many hours need to be, what my labor burdens are, all of the expenses involved. All I do is plug in this guy's name, how many hours are going to do it, what the material costs are, and it spits out a number. I take that number and I write all the data on the on that sheet, and I take this and I drop it in a bin for Wendy. She takes the folder, she goes in there, and I write on there, if there's a deposit, she knows how much the deposit is supposed to be. So I write deposit, and she puts it in there, and she sends it off. When she gets an approval back, she takes the approval, and that's all part of this, by the way. That first sheet I showed you guys, right, it's all part of that, right? To be, yeah. So it's all part of that process. And so what winds up happening is she takes a document from me and she just turns it into, I get it out of here, somewhere in here. So I have multiple, like I do multiple sheets for multiple clients. And here is, so here's my Excel spreadsheet. I mean, you can't really see the numbers on the screen, but there's my Excel spreadsheet. So I just plug in the people's information she stamps it. I used to handwrite on the sheet on the estimate form itself, documents attached. The one thing I learned is having backup. You have to have the backup information. Anytime we can go into our files here and pull up the information that every client we have, so that if there's ever a question, I have it all right there. So she's now, because she's so efficient, she said, I'm not handwriting that, you're crazy. So she got a stamp and she stamps it, and then she just puts a check mark in the box.
Nice. Right.
So when the customer approves it, she schedules it, prints out a work order. It goes in a folder up there, says scheduled work orders in a bin. I know, and the date's written on it. So I know I'm taking the next folder next, and that's the next day. And I take it with me. And that's how we do the process. And I could just say to anybody, take this folder, write down the information, how many guys, how many hours, and what materials you need. And even if they didn't fill in the pricing, Wendy has access to it. So she could fill it in and send it off. So I don't need to be here. You know, when I got sick, you know, all of these things were handled by Wendy, you know, because she has the same ability. Because, as they said in the E-Myth Revisited, you don't have to have the best doctors working at your doctor's office. You have to have a doctor who can follow the process.
Right.
You can get somebody who can follow the process. Everything falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, the biggest thing for people who are starting out is I lose a day's worth of revenue, you know. But if you, we're doing seven to 10 a week, you know, consistently. So.
So how long would you say like the prep work goes into an estimate? Like how long does it take now with all your efficiencies and systems? And then how long did it take you to drill up an estimate when you were in the early days?
In the early days, I would get an email. I think it was at the guy who swings a hammer at Gmail was my email. Some ridiculous thing like that. And so I'd get an email saying, go to so-and-so's house. And I'd look at the phone and go, okay, I'm going to so-and-so's house. I don't know what they want, but whatever. And I'd go there and I had a small little legal pad and I just kind of write things out. And then I realized that I left the legal pad in the truck. And now I got to go back out to get the legal pad and come back in. And so there's so many things that made it that much more difficult, that having this streamlined process, which is all based on making sure you have the right website, making sure you have the right CRM and the right backend systems to be able to handle all that, and putting the process in place. I would venture to say we are probably 75% more efficient now doing an estimate than we ever were. Because I sit here and I'll type it out. I take the folder. I walk through these doors over here. I know you guys can't see it, but it's actually this way. Go through the doors over there. She's got a bid on her desk. I drop it on her desk. And next thing I know, my phone goes, bing, customers viewed your estimate.
Wow.
So, you know, we've done work for people who we've never met. Couldn't tell you who they are. They literally contacted us through the website. It went on so the customer goes to the website. They fill out the document. Wendy takes the document, puts it in the, takes all that information, puts it in the CRM, schedules the call. She talks to the person and says, yep, Jim can come out on such and such a date. They're like, all right, here's the garage door code. We're not home. So I go in and I look at the job. I write down what it needs to be. I come back, I give it to her. She emails it to them through the system. This guy looks at it and goes, yep, approved. Bing, it generates the work order, right? We take the work order. I already know the guy's garage door code. So I go back, I do the work. I take an after picture of it. I send it to him along with the invoice, and boop, there's the money in the bank. I've never met them. Couldn't tell you who they are. If I bumped into them in the grocery store, wouldn't know who they were. So it just having invested in that has made things so much more efficient. And, you know, we were operating off the dining room table. You know, we've all been there, right? We've all operated off the dining room table, right? Work never stops. It never shuts off. It's always there, right? You're always thinking about it. And Wendy said to me, that's it. We need an office. And I went, okay, we need an office, right? So I happened to be I'd been driving by the building we're in for months, seeing the sign outside. And I finally called the guy. It turns out he's a big shot. He owns, millions and millions and millions of square foot of retail and office space. And I'm like, I'm looking for an office. And he's like, you can go up the stairs, you can look in, and you know, the doors are locked. So you're not gonna be able to see the only one we have left, but you can look in the windows. And so that's what we did. And in 3 days, I signed the lease, gave him the check, and he goes, here's your keys. And we moved in. And I went, okay. I didn't have a desk. All I had was a laptop. You know, she didn't have a place to work. We didn't have filing cabinets. We didn't have files for that matter. And in a matter of, this is our, when did we move in April? So April, May, June. So this is our third month. And we have a fully functioning office that runs like a well-oiled machine because of things like procedures, mm-hmm. right? So Wendy can hand this to somebody and go, this is what you need to do every day. Mm-hmm. And there's never a change. There's never a change. And that's that consistency is what makes our clients happy to deal with us.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I'm huge on process. I know Alan is obviously, and he teaches that to all the Handyman Journey guys. I just want to point out to all our listeners, like it takes some time to build up these processes, right? Yeah. And to take time to write out the documents and test out what works. But the amount of time that you're saving and efficiency that you've created, you are like 75% more efficient in the estimating process. That is huge. I mean, that is an investment that you made that's now just paying itself over and over and over again.
Yep.
So I commend you for that. And that's what it takes, though. And then secondly to that too, is when you talk about retirement or Bahamas, you can't sell it's not a business without processes, procedures.
Right.
It's not a business right. without a seat that someone sits in and knows what the job is. And so that's what you have created and are continuing to create so that you have an asset that can be sold so that JP right. can go to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
That's it. Get on a boat and away I go. But that's it. It has to be that simple. You have to keep your business as simple as you can keep it, because the more difficult, the more moving parts it has, the bigger the problem.
Love it.
And the harder struggle. And again, it's the, you know, there's people out there looking for instant gratification. It's not instant. I can tell you, Alan, you know it, you know, Jason, you know it. It's not an instant gratification. It was hard work to get to where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to know where you want to go, right? Otherwise you make enough money to get by. And who wants to make enough money to get by?
Right, right. That's so true. So what would you say, as we get closer to wrapping up here, what would you say are your next steps that you're taking to reach the goals that you want to hit?
So we're talking about streamlining our equipment and how guys use it. We're talking about eventually looking at a box truck like you have,
mm-hmm.
And making that process that much easier. We've gone into simple things such as labeling where things go,
mm-hmm.
just to kind of make it easier for people. The less time we have to spend looking for something is just dollars and cents is what it works out to be.
Right.
Really. I mean, it really worth, you know, you're going to pay a guy, you know, $20-$25 an hour, and he's got to search for, you know, 5 minutes for a tool, you know, over the course of an 8 hour day, you know, you just cost yourself 50 or 60 bucks, yep. you know, and you can invest that money elsewhere. So, I think that, and, you know, we're using things better than we were. We still have to use like our CRM a little bit better than we currently do, to be able to control some of those costs. But I think ultimately, if we can stay on this course of growth and making sure that, you know, we follow our procedures, you know, and then when line three didn't work, we don't just throw it out with the bathwater. We literally, you know, maybe we got to tweak it a little bit, or maybe it wasn't right for this customer. And just continue to search, build relationships. That's what it's about. It's about, I said it, I don't know, a couple of times on this call, and I've said it in many calls we've had. Our whole business is built on relationships. We don't call them customers, we call them clients. There's a difference. You know, mm-hmm. we tell our clients every time we meet them, you have to trust that we are going to do what we set out to do the right way every time. We're not going to hide things. If something comes up, we're going to explain it to you. We're going to talk about what, you know, if there's an extra cost or if there's a cost savings or whatever, we're going to talk about it. And, you know, we recently had a client who we had given a price to, and And we got to the house and it turned out there was something completely different. So I said, well, we have to revisit this because what we were charging you was nowhere near what it's going to cost me just for the materials at this point. Mm-hmm. So we went back and we were able to revisit it. And they called us the other day. I had a FaceTime call with them the other day and they're like, yep, we're ready to go. And we're going to do this, this, and this on top of it. So because of the relationships we built, and that's what it really put. I mean, everything else is gravy if you got the relationship. So
definitely. I love it. So do you have any last advice or tips that you would want to share with fellow handyman businesses out there?
Just be honest. It's a big deal. People know when you're trying to play them, and build those relationships. It has to be about that. It can't be about, I tell customers, I could take $3,000 from you, do the work. You're going to be super satisfied with the work that I do. Right. Mm-hmm. And I can walk away, but I'd rather come back. I'd rather do the $500 or $600 job, every 2 or 3 months, because you just, you don't even bother looking at anybody anymore. I mean, I've had people call me for things that were so out of the blue. I'm like, I've never even heard of it, but we'll try it. Uh-huh. We had a client whose daughter is an Irish step dancer. And during the pandemic, she was dancing on the concrete floor in the basement and it was killing her legs. So he called me up and he's like, I need a custom spring floor put in. I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
but I'll figure it out. Uh-huh. Right. So I did my research. I figured out how to build it. We built it. He paid me $4,200 to build an Irish step dance floor. And out of the blue, because he's heard about our reputation, mm-hmm. Not just social media, but all of the things that matter. Everybody that they talked to said, contact the Newtown Handyman. And that's what's important. It's about building the relationships. And we go back to his house. I've been there 3 or 4 times now. We have a whole week almost scheduled, when we come back to go do, 90% of the paint on his house. So, it boils down to building that relationship. So work hard at that. The rest, don't chase the dollar is what I'm getting at. Chase the success. The dollars will chase that. I promise you it all works out in the end. We're all here for a reason. So.
Love it. Jason, you want to take us home?
Sure, man. Yeah. I guess I just have one thing to add. Like the relationship thing is, it's gold, especially in the handyman trade, because, anyone that needs like their ceiling fan replaced, they're going to need future things. They might need a remodel. If you have that in your wheelhouse as a business owner, but the relationship, like when you know where your customers are and who they are and you figure out the marketing and what works to like get in front of them and to meet them, that first interaction, that customer experience, when you just blow it out of the water and just do a fantastic job, you have yourself a lifetime customer. And in a way, this recurring revenue that you just added to your business, because that they're going to call you every time, like that springboard floor, whatever that is. Guy's probably like, I'm going to see if my man JP, the Newtown Handyman, they could probably do that. But that is the beauty, in my opinion, of the handyman trade. It's your clients are recurring. They need you.
Yeah.
What did we find that the average handyman, the client, they need homework at least like once every quarter, once every 3-4 months, they need somebody. Yep. And when you can get in there, when it's your good customer, that's going to pay your rates. The relationship is gold because it's just every 3 months.
You're absolutely right, Jason. It really boils down to like, we have a preventative home maintenance program and those programs have turned into painting and staining of a deck, to doing other repairs, to, let me give your information to this person. And then you go to their house and say, so-and-so recommended me. And, you don't need to offer somebody, something to recommend them. In most states, you're not allowed to do that, but it really does. It's think about, you're in relationships every single day, right? You're in relationships with your spouse. You're in relationships with your vendors, right? There's certain, you're staring at me on a computer, right? It's the computer you choose. I know, for all of its faults, Alan has a Google phone, right? Right.
Yes.
So, and we're all Apple, but we have relationships with these companies and these companies understand that. Mm-hmm. And so why, if a large organization like Apple or Google or any of them or McDonald's or you name it, have those type of relationships with their clients, why can't we?
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Relationships. That's a big takeaway from this one. So I guess we're going to, it's probably been a little over an hour, so we're going to wrap things up here. JP, man, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
It was an honor. I mean, it was so awesome digging into this. I'm super excited. I'm sure our listeners and viewers, wherever you're at in the sphere of internet, I know 100% that your story and what you shared here is really a blessing to anyone that's watching this. So thank you for
sharing. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I'm Jason with Handyman Marketing Pros, Alan Lee, Handyman Journey, Honestly Handyman. Thank you so much for watching, listening. JP, thanks again, man. Tune in for the next episode and we'll see you on the other side.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, JP.